Hi, this is Ryan Bruce with SpiritualHealingSource.com, a website I helped create featuring the writings of Brad Cullen, an internationally recognized author of several books about spiritual topics, particularly related to physical and emotional healing. And Brad is here with us on the line today to discuss some exciting new stuff called 7 Secrets for Acquiring Healing Power for Others and Spiritual Healing for You. Wow, that's a bold statement, Brad. You are putting yourself out there with that one.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you can boil it down to 7 secrets, that sounds like you've almost got a formula.
I guess it does sound that way.
Well, good, because I prefer formulas. I actually like detailed instructions, and I don't like to guess, so maybe this might be a benefit to me, too, to bring me up to what I'm going to call the next level.
That's scary.
Why? Are you frightened by what could happen if I got hold of these secrets?
Well, that's the essence of the book Leapfrog, you know. It's every time I talk to somebody, they jump way over my head and go further than I do. So.
Okay, well, I'm not going to leapfrog over top you on this one, Brad, or if I am going to, I'm going to need a little bit of help. Because secret 1, according to you, is to approach the source with impudence and persistence. And what is impudence and persistent mean to you? I mean, I picture a little child, because I've got several children who are definitely impudent, and many of them are persistent. Not all of them, but what is that what you're referring to?
That's exactly it.
And so, when I'm looking, or maybe not looking, but you're saying approach. What's the approach look like? Is it through prayer? Is it through, I don't know, singing a song? What's an approach when I'm approaching the source?
All I can do is share what I have found to be my way. This is the Brad Cullen approach, if you would. And that is, once I discovered that what Jesus was saying, he gave 2 metaphors or laid out 2 metaphors. One was that God was a close friend, a friend that's so close that you could go to him in the middle of the night and bang on his door and wake up his entire family. And even though he tried to put you off, he finally would come down and give you everything you needed based on your, what King James word was importunity. When I looked up that word as it was in the 16th century, 17th century, actually, it was 1600 and something, when the importunity meant impudence. And I went to the, and by the way, before I go off on that, impudence meant without, you know, any respect, no awe or respect. And, so I thought I'd look it up in the Greek, and sure enough, in the original, that's what the words meant, without any awe or respect. The word can be translated as a demand, and you go and tell them what you need. And in that was persistence. And what's interesting to me is the word importunity has come to mean that. You look in any 20th or 21st century dictionary, you know, Webster's, that's what the word importunity means today. Back then it meant impudence. Today it means persistence. So that was one of the metaphors. The other metaphor was that of an overindulgent parent. And the little kid would say, you know, Daddy, Daddy, Mommy, Mommy, I want, I want, I want. And once I saw that, I thought, wait a minute. I started approaching the source that way, and particularly for faith.
And so if I stick on your metaphor, if I use your metaphor and put myself in that position of the impudent, spoiled child and keep asking until I'm getting, this is the secret that you're imparting to me, that's all I have to do is change the way I'm looking at God sufficiently that I ask with impudence and persistence. Is that right?
Yeah, because he's the perfect parent that you always wish you had, or I always wished I had, that you can go to and get whatever it is you want.
Okay. And I'm supposed to approach, and that's the question. I understand how I'm supposed to approach, but what is the approach? Is it Is this through prayer? Is this through, am I going to dance around on the lawn in front of my neighbor's house? I mean, what kind of approach, what does approach mean to you? I mean, wow, that's a pretty broad term. And if you're giving me secrets that are supposed to help me, then I think I need a little bit more specific there.
Okay, that's fair enough. I'm once I get past the picture in my mind of you dancing on your lawn.
Let it go. Let it go, Brad. Okay, let me reel you in here. So the different approaches that have been presented to me over my time have been prayer, and the prayer can be out loud. It could be speaking in other tongues. It also could mean meditation. Meditate on whatever it is that I'm looking for. Calm my mind and do a guided meditation. It could mean that I cut out a picture of whatever it is that I want and put it up on my mirror. I mean, those are all approaches to source. But how do you approach the source? But how do I do that with impedance and persistence? How do you apply it in those instances that I just brought up?
Again, when I saw the two metaphors, I realized that all the things that you mentioned are traditional religious approaches to the source. And I'm not being critical of them at all, but I began to understand that if I was going to really try out what I thought I was seeing that Jesus was saying, I was going to start having to change the way I approached. Instead of dancing on the lawn or meditating or putting pictures up on the refrigerator or whatever, I was going to approach the source like I would an overindulgent parent and just not back off. How do I do it? I think I get into that later specifically, but I'll give you a hint. When I saw the knocking on the door, and what I really started for was I wanted more faith. I didn't understand what faith was the way I was beginning to see Jesus using the term. When I started using it, I actually got out on my face, if you would, laying on the floor, and started pounding on the floor with my fists and saying, I want more faith. I want everything you've got. And I'm not backing off until I get it. And I didn't. Amazingly enough, I got more faith.
Thank you for sharing how that happened for you. Because I think it's important for our listeners to understand that it's not too silly to get down and pound on the floor or whatever activity it is that helps you arrive at that impudence or whatever approach works for you. It's not necessarily relevant, but that you actually are bold enough and impudent enough and persistent enough to just go and do it.
It worked for me.
I can't say that necessarily is going to work for me, but I think I might give it a try. The next thing that you say is that I shouldn't pass on secret one until I've made a commitment to not stop until I receive. This is pretty bold. I mean, you've capitalized all the letters and you've underlined secret one and commitment, and this seems like you're really trying to grab my attention with that. Why can't I pass on that? Why can't I just read the whole thing and then come back and maybe practice secret one and then try secret two? Why do I have to make that commitment right away?
Because I don't think, based on my experience with anyone I've shared this conception with, I don't think I've ever seen anybody break through into the kind of faith that I believe Jesus has promised us without making a commitment to do that. It seems to be implied in his whole teaching. I can do it. You got to get to that point, or you're never going to get to the point of, I will do it. Mm-hmm. And then when you break through that, then it's, I am doing it. And I'm not going to stop doing it. And once I broke through into that, that's daily. I pound on the door. If I'm jogging, I slap my sides of my legs while I'm running and saying, I want more. I want more. I want more of you. I want more of you. And I don't quit. And it works.
I don't understand. So you're jogging down the road and you slap the side of your leg and say, I want more. what is it you're asking for more of? More energy to continue your jog or more faith?
Okay. Yeah, more faith. More always faith. More faith.
Okay, so you're not asking for something specific like a $20 bill. We're talking about something, well, because faith is, what is that? It's not quantifiable, it's not measurable, it's not drawable. Yeah, I can't paint faith. I
think it is.
I can't put it in my cupboard. I can't put it in my bank account. I can't write a check on faith.
Well, I think you can. I think it is quantifiable in that what I mean by faith is just understanding and knowing that I'm connected with the source. To me, that started with, I've seen it start with others, it started with wanting to know if Jesus was really real. And that's how I approached him. I said, if you're real, show me. I want to know.
Well, you know, funny that you should say that, because I have almost the identical experience, and I said almost the identical words.
And you what?
And I got an answer.
Yeah, he is real, isn't he?
And then that began the journey of my own faith, yeah, of my own spirituality or recognition thereof, right?
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right, and quite frankly, I never looked at it like this before, but I did approach it with impudence and persistence. I approached it and I said, these are my exact words. I said, God, if you're real, then you made me who I am, and I'm a fighter. So let's go. Prove yourself. Let's fight about it.
That explains some things about you.
Maybe I said too much. Oh.
Now, I'm sorry, but what really got to me, once I was convinced he was real and that he was in my life and it was holy mackerel, so much more than just believing, but I knew. But once I stumbled on the 14th chapter of John, Gospel of John, where it's so clear, he says that anyone that believes, and in the original is believes enough, anyone that believes enough will do the very same things you've seen me do. And I'm what? You know, so in order to do that, something had to happen in me. I had to have a lot more faith than what was going on. How am I going to raise people from the dead or turn water into wine or give eyesight to people or whatever? And I wanted those things if that's what you were supposed to be able to do. And the next thing, of course, the real mind-boggler was when he said, I didn't do those things. You want to know who the Father is? Well, how long have you been with me? You know, and that everything you've seen me do, all my words, these are the Father's works, you know. Holy mackerel. So this is a dimension, if we're going to be what he says, which is to be like him as he was as a man and do the very same things he did, this can't be just some lackadaisical sit on a pew or worse, stand behind a pulpit, whichever one. You have to have something far deeper and far greater. Well, what you have to know and have is that the Father is in you.
And so I have to get more of that, and that's what I should be asking for, impudently and persistently. Is that right?
If you like my idea of faith, that's how I got it.
Okay. Well, I like that because I really would like to receive healing for myself and others. I believe that that's part of who I am. So I think I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to ask for that. And I don't think I'm going to stop until I receive.
That's it. That's the key. And once you have that breakthrough so that you know that he is in you and that he does the works, then you don't back away. What I mean by that, I think on our last phone conversation, something I said about a woman being in a wheelchair seemed to turn you on. It seemed to change how you were thinking. And that is, you know, it's the most amazing thing to sit there and say, okay, Dad, what do I do? You know, it's like I remember the night a woman who was blind. I mean, totally blind, you know, walking out the door and walking down her steps and screaming at the top of her lungs, "Oh, what a beautiful night! I can see the stars!" You know, I mean, I knew that's what was going to happen.
Right.
Because he was in me, showing me that's what was going to happen.
Perfect. So, Brad, back to the secret and your dialogue on the secret. We get to a little further down, and you describe what you go through on a daily basis. And I'm a little bit confused with this one. You say in the article, yesterday's faith does nothing for today. So are you telling me that I need to ask for this same faith daily?
No, I'm saying that I wake up almost every morning depressed, confused, fear thoughts. I'm, you know, just like under a huge attack.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll wake up at 2:00 in the morning and be all ticked off because I couldn't sleep any longer. And within 15, 20 minutes, I'm the most excited guy that you ever knew. And my wife can't stand me until she's had a couple, three cups of coffee and been up for a half an hour because I am going off the wall. I'm just so excited about God and I'm so excited about the source and being available and knowing that I have the answers to everything. And here when I woke up, I was a mess. And that's the way I am.
And so what's the step? Where's the light switch that you threw to turn on that wonderful feeling you just described? Do you get up and roll over and do you go back to the source and say, I want, or?
That's like, always my way.
Every morning you wake up and that's your first step.
The second secret.
Oh. Okay, well, then I won't give away your secrets until we get to the second secret. But when I read your article, it kind of sounds like you repeat the process. It's not just a one-time thing where you go today, or I want my faith. I think there's a philosophy out there somewhere within religious circles that once saved, always saved, and once you've asked once, you don't have to ask again because it's already there for you. So
true, but it never worked for me, and this does work for me. So I'm just sharing what works for me. I'm like the old story about the beggar. I'm just a beggar telling others where I happen to get bread, pointing to the people that give bread out, and that's it. That's just how I got mine. And if you want to do it, it's available and free for you as well.
When I wake up tomorrow morning, my next step should be to impudently go before the source and say, I want more faith. I want faith for miracles today. I want faith for whatever it is that's on my heart to achieve that day. Is that right?
That's how I look at it.
Okay. Okay, I think I can do that. I'm actually positive I can do that.
And then you turn the corner and finally see that you are doing it.
So my expectation from taking this first step is that I'm going to receive greater faith for the miracles that I get that day.
Again, all I can tell you is it works for me. And that's all I can tell anybody.
So Brad, to wrap
yes.
it up, tomorrow morning, when I want to activate my faith the way you've described in Secret One, I need to make a commitment. And you kind of described that in your article. The commitment I need to make is I can, I will, and most importantly, I have turned the corner and realized that I am committed to accessing and activating the source in me each and every day. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it's what's even more exciting to me is as you do that, as you start doing that daily, the reason I'm so excited is once I go through the process, every morning as I realize he's more, she's more, it's more committed to that process than I am. That's what you're breaking into. You're breaking into the commitment of the source to have you there. That's his will. It's her will. It's its will. The will of the source is that we operate and we move and we live in faith. And I'm just sharing how I got there.
Well, Brad, I'm committed. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to make that commitment and I'm going to approach the source in the way that you advised. And then maybe when we talk about secret number two, we'll start off and I'll tell you what kind of experience I had when I do that.
I'm looking forward to that. And maybe I won't have to have any more images in my mind of you dancing on your neighbor's lawn. Right?
Well, I probably won't be banging on the floor because I got some neighbors down below me and they might not like that. So I'm going to have to approach it a little less impudently than you do.
That's okay with me.
Maybe I'll stand up and I'll wave my arms. Daddy, 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 like that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
Brad.
Work.
So I look forward to receiving secret number two from you and having a dialogue about that as we go through this exciting seven secrets that you're sharing with us now.
I hope they are exciting. And
well, if we don't record it and share it, then it just stays with you and me, and I think more people need to hear this than just you and me.
Yeah, I believe that. Hey,
okay,
thanks so much, Ryan.